Thank you. I feel fortunate to have either chosen or to have been thrust into the world of 1939 as an infant in the place where it happened for me, which was in a small town in rural Mississippi with all kinds of storytelling that went on and all kinds of rhyming and quoting and proverbs and all these things that I was unaware of at the time would contribute to my becoming a writer. And that's the only way you can understand that is with hindsight. Everybody is born at the time, I think, when they're supposed to be born. Allison made some references to moon poems, and the moon certainly comes up in my poetry quite a bit. In fact, last night at around 3 o'clock in the morning, at Poetry Guest House, 1238 North Cherry, I was awakened by something that kept getting into my eyes, and I turned over in bed, and I thought, I don't remember a street light being out there. And I pulled back the Venetian blinds, and there was the full moon just doing its thing. And it was kind of funny, because you know, you write all the stuff about the moon, and there it is. And it was amazing. And I told Karen this morning about it. She says, oh, yeah, the moon in the desert has a way of just lighting up everything. And I thought of Scott Momaday's House Made of Dawn, you know, it's a beautiful novel. And I understood that's not metaphor, that's real. House Made of Dawn. It's very beautiful where you live, I think. So she's a fan of some of my moon poems. And I wrote 22 of these things in the 80s. And it was an interesting way that I did it. I was in Italy doing poetry and jazz things, poetry and gospel, actually. And I was about to go from Italy to the former Yugoslavia. Everything's the former now, right? The former Yugoslavia on a Fulbright. And I bought a notebook in Viareggio, in that part of Italy. And I wrote on the title page of the notebook, 22 moon poems. And it was a strange thing to do. Allison said, why 22? I said, well, it's a magical number, you know, 22. And she said, you did this? I said, yes. She said, what happened? Well, the moon became sort of this presence that saved me from being afraid of what I was about to do. I was about to go into Eastern Europe, and I had fears about it. You know, you have fear about places that you've heard so much about, but you haven't been there, and so you go by everybody else's story. For example, about 10 days ago, I was in Israel, in Jerusalem, and, you know, just a few kilometers from Hebron, and I was sitting at the Jerusalem Sheraton looking at CNN news, and they were showing what was happening, and I got scared, you know, because, you know, media coverage is a very different thing than actually being there. But the conceit of these poems was that the moon would be someone that I would address as I traveled through Italy and Yugoslavia, and it would be something that you're familiar with from home, you know, that you can see from all over the world. So it was a little device for keeping track of travels and also, you know, writing poetry. And the truth is that I wrote more than 22 moon poems, but in the end I cut it back to 22 and published those. This is from the introduction. Composed spontaneously between September of 1984 and February of 1985, while I was adrift in Italy, Yugoslavia, New York, and California, these moon-inspired poems, moans, and soliloquies continue to amaze me. They are largely culled from a notebook I kept during that wistful period when the moon, sometimes visible, sometimes not, became my confessor, companion, and comforter. My abiding affection for the moon, its beauty, its presence, and magic is still as wondrous to me as it was when I used to sit on the back porch steps summers in the rural Mississippi night and marvel at how moonlight could soften and brighten my attitudes towards those very corn and cotton fields we kids would have to be out working in once the sun began making its rounds. In those nights, I'd have secret little boy chats with the man in the moon, smug in the knowledge gathered from active living and looking and from losing myself in science fiction that our little green planet was only one of countless trillions suspended in space with no strings attached, no visible ones at least. One look at the heavens all jammed up and crammed with stars and oceans of light and black, no light, and I knew there was something altogether marvelous about our even being here that we'd forgotten somehow or never knew about. So here's one of those moon poems. This one is called Moonlessness. It comes from a night that I looked up and there was no moon, and I had to deal with that. Moonlessness. You, there you go again, disappearing on me, moon, and on the ripest of days, right smack dab in the middle of all autumn. No sooner do I grow used to having you around for days and nights on end than the soothing shadow of you dissolves from the heavens, and even the taste of your light upon the wet, shiny coat my tongue wears in this goodbye cartoon evaporates. Hey, loony moon, don't you know that even I, a clown for love, no savvy whatever for stately details, would gladly form an elegant delegation of one to swim this darkness to you? Here in this particular now, here where you ditched me, it's all these crazy, bluesy, all blues moon that buoy me where I hover at this streaky kitchen window, soaking up the silvery orange and pale sky across the lost green street of red-headed October. All of it blue, blue, ebulliently blue. This is the now that keeps pulsing and pushing and pulling me along this snail-like switchback of a trail I travel, moonless. Now there's a phrase in here that intrigues me to this day, and it's the one that says, smack dab in the middle of all autumn, and all autumn is hyphenated. And I got that from a very interesting encounter. I'm going to read a little section here, and you'll figure it out.